This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Ashley and her husband John founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. Good morning. Buongiorno, Ashley. Always great to be with you from Roma.
Buongiorno, John. Happy to bring Rome to home this morning.
Always, always so much going on there in the Eternal City. Tell us about, first of all, the Holy Father's message. I know he spoke a little bit about hypocrisy at his papal audience. Fill us in.
Yes, in fact, hypocrisy was indeed the theme, pointing out that that is something that we see in all of us. It's something that we cannot really escape as hard as we try. But this was all part of his commentary on St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Of course, he has been giving commentary on Galatians for the last few weeks. And he spoke about hypocrisy, especially as we talk about the idea of formally adhering to the law, but then sometimes we, of course, don't do such a good job of keeping that up. He said that sometimes people pretend, they flatter, they deceive, they live with what he called a mask. And that's because, he says, they don't have the courage to face the truth. And he said it's because in this case, they are not capable of truly loving. But I would actually add myself that we all are not capable of truly loving in that sense. And he noted that, you know, we see hypocrisy everywhere around us. We see it in the workplace. We see it in politics. He said, but hypocrisy in the church, well, that is where it's particularly detestable. And of course, we understand that those in the church are and should be held to a higher standard. And so as a remedy to that, he said that we should simply use the Lord's words and let our yes mean yes, our no mean no, remembering that anything beyond that just comes from the evil one. And so he said that to act otherwise, we could actually risk jeopardizing the unity of the church. And of course, that's the unity that Christ himself prayed for. So today was really a reflection for all of us to try to make all of our actions, our thoughts, and our words truly integral so that we can reflect Christ, we can reflect his commands in everything that we do, John.
Powerful, powerful reminder by the Holy Father. I love it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I think that is so relevant. And like you said, it really does apply to every single one of us because every one of us at some time have had a little bit of hypocrisy in us.
Yes, yes, it's something we can't quite help, and very often we're quick to find it in other people, but a little bit slower to see it in ourselves. But today's catechesis is certainly a reminder that we need to be on the lookout. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to make us aware of those spots, those gaps in our own life that we may be acting hypocritically and not representing Him in everything we do. So this is a great opportunity for us to especially stop and pray for that grace, so that we can really radiate him in every moment of our lives, John.
There were some incredible photos of the Holy Father hugging the faithful and blessing a little baby. It looks like he's out and about at the audience, even though it seems like the whole world is still worried about the variant and the pandemic.
Yes, it seems like there is, we could say, as much of a sense of normalcy as possible right now. And so that pertains throughout the city here in Rome as well. You know, masks are still required indoors, but not outdoors at this time. So I think everybody's continuing along this line and doing their best to continue to build up their immune systems as much as they can. And well, we've got this hot August sunshine, and and we'll see what the future holds.
On another note, just yesterday, in a press release, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, announced that he's sending over $230,000 in aid for the victims of the Haiti earthquake. I know the Holy Father has such a heart for the people of Haiti and for people who are suffering in general.
Yes, that is, John, going to be distributed to the people of Haiti there, of course, especially with thought of those 600 victims. And it's going through the apostolic nunciature there at Haiti, and they will get it, they say, to those who are most affected by the disaster. And so in addition to that, the president of the Italian Bishops Conference has pledged $1.17 million to Haiti, that's going to be distributed through the bishop's charitable office. And then in addition to that, John, the Vatican is also giving relief specifically to Bangladesh. So they were recently hit by Cyclone Yas. And so 60,000 euros has been pledged to help there. And then also to Vietnam, there's 100,000 euro that is going there because they are in a state of economic distress, some serious distress due to the realities of the socioeconomic backlash, the consequences related to the pandemic. So specifically, the Pope asked all to pray. He said that he raises his prayers to the Lord for the victims, and he addressed a word of encouragement to all the survivors, to everyone who is fighting right now. And he also expressed his desire that the entire international community take interest in the suffering that's going on in order to alleviate the consequences of these tragedies, John.
And Ashley, just as a follow-up from last week's pledge drive, a reminder that Relevant Radio is giving 10% of our more than $3.2 million that our listeners supported us with in a record-breaking pledge drive last week. So we're going to be giving around $300,000 to the people of Haiti, and which is a beautiful thing. So we're hand-in-hand with the spirit of what the Holy Father is doing as well.
Oh, I love that. And that's what we Catholics do, isn't it? We help. We give charity. I love that.
Absolutely. On Sunday, I was extremely interested in the Holy Father's message during the Angelus, in which he encouraged Catholics to not to water down the reality of Jesus Christ's humanity and his teaching that the Eucharist is truly his body and blood. This is something that is so important. This is what our faith is all about, and Holy Father's reminding us.
Yes. In fact, on Sunday during the Angelus, the Holy Father looked at the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 69, and specifically those words, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Those who do have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink." And he mentioned that that Jesus spoke these words soon after the multiplication of the loaves. And at that point, all kinds of people were very amazed by the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves, and yet they still managed to turn away because they felt that that teaching of Christ was too hard about the Eucharist, about his flesh being true food and his blood being true drink. And so Pope Francis said that this is a way that Jesus throws us all into crisis. He said if he doesn't throw us into crisis, we should be worried, because that means that we have watered down his message. So in his Angelus, he asked all to pray for that grace to be converted to Jesus' words of eternal life. And he especially asked the intercession of Our Lady, who bore her son, who bore Jesus in the flesh, to help us to always bear witness of our faith, of the authentic faith in our real lives, John.
Great stuff. Changing gears, Ashley, the European fraternity is meeting in Rome, uniting young people in friendship with an aim to reignite the Christian roots of Europe. What's going on with these meetings?
You know, John, this is such an excellent group. So they're gathering here from nations all across the continent, and their goal, as you mentioned, to revive those Christian roots of Rome. So this is an opportunity for people to come together. They have three pillars that they unite around, which is a cultural awareness to understand the diversity of Europe and to respect that cultural diversity, and then to engage in charity. They have a charitable arm of this European fraternity. And then their third pillar is spiritual renewal. So they're prayer is a huge part of this organization. So imagine all these young people from all throughout Europe who are doing amazing things, whether in apostolates or ministries or in advocacy work, in law, to try to revive the Christian roots of Europe. And boy, do we need it. And a beautiful thing that this group is starting, and the meetings start today, actually, is they're starting a rosary for Europe, where each bead is dedicated to a different European nation. So I've got all kinds of great information on how to pray that European rosary, which I just think is the best. And we over here in Europe, you know, we need it so much, as we see so many churches which are closed. We see so many, ministries of faith that are dying out. And it's such a tragedy. We want to reverse that. So this is a beautiful organization, the European Fraternity. And my husband, John, and I are members, and it's just a great thing to happen. So happy to share it with our listeners, John.
Asking for the intercession of St. Louis the Ninth, the King of France, who we are celebrating today. How is this feast day being celebrated in Roma?
Yes, couldn't be more appropriate. St. Louis of France, the eldest daughter of the church. And there's a church named after him here, John. It's called San Luigi de Francesi, and it's the French national church. So all the masses there are in French. And it also contains those three amazing Caravaggios, including the calling of St. Matthew as an evangelist. So people will be going there today, especially making pilgrimages, praying there, and looking at that amazing masterpiece of Caravaggio, the calling of St. Matthew, thinking about our own calling in life, taking this as an opportunity to ask the Lord how each of us can spread the good news to the ends of the earth. And my husband John and I did a series on EWTN about that particular church, about the Caravaggios there. So that's on our website at truthandbeauty.com if you want to feel like you're right there in the Church of San Luigi de Francesi on this special feast day, John.
Sounds great. And speaking of feast days, we have yet two more big celebrations coming up, Friday and Saturday, the Feast of St. Augustine and St. Monica. Great saints for all of us. Do the Italians have a strong devotion to this mother and son combo?
They do. And in fact, the Feast of St. Monica is considered a special day for mamas because she is indeed the patroness of mamas. And so what's going to happen around here is that, first of all, there is a church called the Church of St. Augustine right here in Rome, and the tomb of St. Monica is inside. So on the 27th and 28th, the feast of this mom and son, the relics of each will be placed side by side so sweetly there on the altar. And then in the place where St. Augustine is entombed, it's called Pavia in northern Italy, they're having all kinds of activities that started yesterday. Singing Vespers and Lauds every day. They're having masses with local bishops. And then they're also having a profession of final vows of an Augustinian monk. And then the urn containing the relics of St. Augustine, well, those are going to be available to the public all week to venerate. But then, John, over in a place called Cassago, Italy, which is not far from Pavia, they too are having a whole week of celebrations. So starting on the 27th of August, going to September 5th, they are celebrating these two great saints and tying the celebrations in with the great Florentine poet Dante, because it's his 700th anniversary of his death. And in his Divine Comedy, in the Paradiso, in the Paradise, he mentions St. Augustine on two occasions. So they are having masses, and then afterwards at the local university are doing readings from Dante. And in addition to all this, on Saturday, a group of pilgrims is going to leave Milan and walk the very same footsteps, the very same journey that St. Augustine made in August of 386 AD. He was trying to reach the villa of his friend Verrecondo. It's an 8-hour walk. They're going to walk 36 kilometers as a pilgrim group, especially to commemorate this great saint. So lots of wonderful things to celebrate the richness of our faith here in Rome and throughout Italy, John.
Outstanding. So much that we can learn from this mother and son combination, St. Augustine and St. Monica. Ashley, you really do bring Rome to home, painting an incredible picture for our audience. Thanks so much, as always.
Well, it's a delight. God bless you, and happy Feast of St. Louis.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.